Every epic cross-generational tale of perseverance and triumph has a beginning, and ours begins in China, specifically in Harbin, a modestly sized city in the country's northeastern tip known for its brutal winters and its famous annual ice sculpture festival. I was born on the 19th of April, 1989, in this Chinese winter fell to a working-class family that possessed neither money nor influence of any sort. My family was neither House Lannister nor Stark. They were innocent villagers in the background whose simple lives were unencumbered by any political aspirations whatsoever. I spent the first 4.5 years of my life with my dad's side of the family in Harbin, San's dad, or mom for that matter. My father left China when I was 8 months old to do a PhD program at Queen's University in Canada, and my mom joined him a year later, leaving me in the care of my yeye and my nainai, my paternal grandparents. My parents named me Simu, from the Chinese characters Si Xiang, meaning introspection or ideation, and Xianmu, meaning the envy or longing for something one doesn't have. My name was meant to be a reminder of my parents' journey and the sacrifices that they made along the way. I would always be envious of the other children whose parents never left their side. So Simu wasn't exactly a name that evoked the happiest of memories. Luckily, I had two. In China, it is extremely common for loved ones and close family members to give you a nickname or little name. I was only ever called Simu if I was in trouble, Liu Simu if I really messed up. Otherwise, I was known to my family as Mao Mao, which roughly translates to little furry caterpillar. It was much less depressing than introspective envy and way cuter. To be honest, I never really noticed that my parents weren't around. I was far too young to have formed any lucid memories of them before they left, so there was nothing for me to miss. I knew that my mama and baba existed, but to me, they were more like abstract concepts that I spoke with on the phone every now and then. I was told that my folks were a part of a very small group of people who had been given the opportunity to study abroad and that one day I would join them on their worldly adventure. Of course, I didn't understand what any of that meant. I was content just to live my life. My grandparents and I lived in a charming little ramshackle apartment on the 5th floor of a cement building tucked at the very back of the university campus where my yeye taught chemistry before he retired. The place would have been out of date 10 years before I ever set foot in it, but it had character. The paint on the walls was chipped and faded, the wooden doors aged, and our rickety, mismatched chairs always seemed like they were on the verge of collapse, kept alive only by my yeye's tinkering. Our home was full of little DIY improvements that he dreamed up, like water pipes wrapped in newspaper and plastic bags, or wooden sticks strapped to a table and chair legs to reinforce them. It was an ingenuity that would have made MacGyver jealous. The kitchen was effectively a series of open flames next to a sink made of blackish-brown concrete surrounded by a jungle of exposed pipes. My grandparents didn't get a refrigerator until after I was born, and it was stored in a separate room because the kitchen had no power. Our water, which was unfit for drinking and only came cold, ran for roughly half the day, which meant that we had to keep reserves around the apartment. A good chunk of every morning had to be spent boiling the water over the fire and then storing it for cleaning, cooking, and bathing, the latter of which was an art form of finding the perfect ratio between scalding hot boiled water and the water pumped from the depths of the Earth's cold body. As far as I can remember, my grandparents always got it just right.